Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of his bull carrier, travels at this time, accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. Purport. Lord Shiva, Rudra, is the king of the ghosts. Ghostly characters worship Lord Shiva to be gradually guided toward a path of self-realization. Mayavadi philosophers are mostly worshippers of Lord Shiva, and Sripa Sankaracharya is considered to be the incarnation of Lord Shiva for preaching godlessness to the Mayavadi philosophers. Ghosts are bereft of a physical body because of their grievously sinful acts, such as suicide. The last resort of the ghostly characters in human society is to take shelter of suicide, either material or spiritual. Material suicide causes loss of the physical body, and spiritual suicide causes loss of the individual identity. Mayavadi philosophers desire to lose their individuality and merge into the impersonal spiritual Brahma-jyoti existence. Lord Shiva, being very kind to the ghosts, sees that although they are condemned, they get physical bodies. He places them into the wombs of women who indulge in sexual intercourse, regardless of the restriction on time and circumstance. Kashyapa wanted to impress this fact upon Diti so that she might wait for a while. Mukam karati vachalam pangurlanghayate giring jatkripatam aham vande sri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanya isharam. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conversation between Kashyapa and Diti is going on. The conversation between husband and wife. So all of you know that Kashyapa was in meditation or doing spiritual practice, and in the evening Diti expressed her desire to have children, to have son in her womb, but the time was not appropriate. Kashyapa Muni was trying to make her understand that this is not the proper time. But she was very desperate. So in this verse today, Srila Prabhupada is writing, Lord Shiva is very, very merciful to his followers. And who are his followers? Ghosts. Very interesting. And who become that category of person? Who voluntarily gives up his body by committing suicides? And because he is not interested in gross body, so Lord fulfills the desire of that living entity by not giving him gross body. And by the mercy of the Lord, he stays in subtle body. And how long? Very, very long period of time. But if Lord Shiva is satisfied with that living entity, then Lord mercifully gives him the gross body. How? By putting them in the womb of a lady who is engaged in sexual intercourse at improper time and improper circumstances. By this, Kashyapa Muni was indicating Diti that if you have sexual intercourse now to beget a child, the child will be a very dangerous child. And because she did not follow the guidance of her husband, so two special personalities took the shelter of the womb of Diti. And all of us know that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born in this world. So Prabhupada is telling that there are two kinds of suicide. Material suicide and also spiritual suicide. Material suicide means we give up our physical body. And spiritual suicide means giving up our spiritual body. That is the consequence of suicide. So Mayavad philosophy is everything is Maya, including Lord's body. Mayavadi and Brahmavadi, although both are impersonalist, but there is a difference. So Mayavadi, they completely rejects the idea of the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't accept. They propagate, they accept, they believe that Lord also has material body. When the Brahman gets in touch with the material nature in the mode of goodness, then that becomes Lord's body. So that is the conclusion of Mayavad philosophy. And what is the perfection? Liberation into the impersonal Brahman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say that we should not associate with the Mayavadi philosophers. Why? Because they deny the existence of Lord. So there is always a debate between Mayavadis and devotees. It has been going on. So one person was sitting on the roadside. So one Mayavadi philosopher was going through that way and seeing that person that he's a good candidate to receive some knowledge. So he started speaking about Mayavad philosophy. And he told him that you should chant a mantra. What is the mantra? Sa-aham. Sa-aham. I am that Brahman. Please chant this mantra. Because that is the philosophy. So I am that Brahman. So in Mayavad school, if someone takes sannyas, he becomes Narayan. Danda dharana matrena nara narayana bhavet. As soon as someone accepts that sannyas order by holding that danda, so he becomes Narayan. That is the philosophy. So this Mayavadi guru told his disciple, please chant this mantra, soham, soham. So on the same road, after that Mayavadi guru gave the mantra, so Vaishnava guru came also. And Vaishnava guru told that person that, why you are chanting soham? You should chant Dasaham. You add Da. So, start chanting Dasaham. I am the servant of the Supreme Lord. So, next day, that Mayavadi Guru wanted to check how his disciple doing. So, he came and saw that he changed the mantra. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. We are very expert in changing mantra. So, he said, why you have changed this mantra? No, another guru came and told me to chant this mantra. He said, okay, so you are chanting Dasaham, so you should chant Sa Dasaham. Sadasaham means you are always that Brahman. So, he started that mantra. Then after some time, Vaishnava Guru came for the follow-up. How my disciple is doing. So, he also saw that he changed his mantra. He said, why are you chanting Sadasaham? You should add another Da. Dasa, Dasaham. So, in that way, always there is a debate between Mayavad philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy. So Mahaprabhu taught us Achinta Bhedaved philosophy. We are simultaneously one and different. Very unique philosophy. Although Mahaprabhu did not approve the association of Mayavadi philosophers, but he showed his mercy to the Mayavadi philosophers also. So after taking sannyas, so Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Mayavadi school, from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. Actually, he did not take sannyas from him. Actually, Mahaprabhu took sannyas from him only, from himself. So he chanted sannyas mantra in the years of Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He gave him sannyas. Then after that, he gave that mantra back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because that time, that was a tradition, sannyas means Mayavadi sannyas. And this kind of sannyasis were highly respected in the society. But Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead and came into this world to propagate Vaishnava philosophy, how he can take that kind of sannyas. But he did that externally to keep the social custom, but actually he accepted Vaishnava sannyas order of life. And he also did not take the sannyasi name. Sri Krishna Chaitanya was not a sannyas name. It was a brahmachari name. So, lot of explanations are there about Mahaprabhu sannyas. That is not the topic today, but it is connected with the Mayavad philosophy and Mayavad school. That's why I thought we can start from this point, that Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. And he was running towards Vrindavan, but he was brought back to Santipur by Nityananda Prabhu. And by the desire of Sachi Mata, Mahaprabhu was requested to stay at Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu stayed few days in Santipur with all the devotees of Navadvip. And he went to Jagannath Puri. So when he entered into the temple of Lord Jagannath, by seeing the form of Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu exhibited the symptoms of love of Godhead. And he fainted on the ground. By seeing that, Pandas, they thought he is something mad person, creating disturbance in the temple. And they wanted to throw him out of the temple. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw that these symptoms are not ordinary symptoms. Only extraordinary persons can exhibit this kind of symptoms. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought him to his own house. Then Nityananda Prabhu and other associates also joined. Then Mahaprabhu came into consciousness. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was expressing concern. What kind of concern? That this sannyasi is very young. Because Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24. And that time he had young wife, Vishnupriya Devi's age was 16. And at this time, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And people don't appreciate this step of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Socially is not so acceptable. Old mother, young wife, 24 years of age, what kind of life? But Mahaprabhu took sannyas at perfect age. Generally at the middle of our life we should take sannyas. Mahaprabhu knew that he is going to stay for 48 years. So 24 years was the perfect age to take sannyas. So why he took sannyas? Because he saw that being in grihastha order of life, instead of hearing him, people of Navadvip were not following him. Rather, his friends wanted to beat him up. It's a long story. So he thought that they will go to hell. And I came into this world to give them love of Godhead. But by my presence, they are going to hell. What kind of service I am doing? So therefore, if I take sannyas, then they will respect me. Because that is the custom. And sannyasis are respected as Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing wrong. Rather, it is appropriate to address Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayan. So because of that, he took sannyas. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very concerned how he will maintain this sannyas order of life. And he is from not first class category. Bharati is not so first class category of sannyasi. So he thought that I should train him up in Vedanta, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the guru of that Mayavadi school. He was highly educated, big scholar. And he thought that I should train him up in Vedanta philosophy. And I will give him initiation from the highest school. So that proposal was given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but Mahaprabhu's associates were very upset. And they were thinking that he doesn't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not a sannyasi. But Mahaprabhu took it very nicely. He said, why are you so much disturbed by this? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is like my father. And he wants to take care of me so that I can maintain my sannyas order of life. What's wrong in it? So I'll take the training of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started speaking Vedanta. 7 days, 7 nights. But Mahaprabhu was completely silent during this period. So after 7 days and 7 nights, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking, the student is not responding, not asking any question, completely silent. So who remains silent? Two categories. Who understands everything and who understands nothing. In between, they always ask questions, right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was curious whether he is understanding anything or not. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, that the slokas, the verses are very, very clear. But your explanation are covering the meaning of Vedanta. such an insult, right? But he told in a very nice way. Mahaprabhu was very expert. And he was very expertly used to communicate that you are a fool. So why purport is needed? Why commentary is needed? To make the understanding clearer. That's why there is a need of purport. Arjuna did not need purport. But we need purport. Because we are not able to understand the text. So we need translation because we don't know Sanskrit. And even after translation we don't understand. That's why we need purport. That is the level we have. But what Mahaprabhu is telling? Mahaprabhu is telling that the verses are like brilliant sun. It's Vedanta Sutra. But your explanations are covering like cloud. So he was insulted. Then he said, there's a lot of discussion. Then there's a concept came, okay, you explain the Atma Ram verse, this famous verse, Atma Ramascha Munaya. So Sarvam Bhattacharya started speaking on the verse Atma Ram. And he gave 9 wonderful explanations according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brilliant explanation. Because he is the disciple of Brihaspati, he is not an ordinary person, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Then Mahaprabhu, without touching any explanation of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he explained in 18 different ways. And when Sarvam Bhattacharya heard that, he understood that Chaitanya is not a living entity. He must be Lord Narayan. And he surrendered unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Sadbhuj form. So first disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after sannyas was Sarvam Bhattacharya. So Mahaprabhu was expert to deal with scholarly people. So preaching to the class should happen privately. That should not be a public program for the intellectual class. Mahaprabhu never did public programs for intellectual class. He always interacted privately because they need that kind of attention. And Mahaprabhu heard 7 days and 7 nights continuously. This is the austerity of preaching. Hearing is the most important aspect of preaching Krishna consciousness. We have to hear. Then we can understand who is he, no? So it is said that fool is identified when he opens up the mouth. So unless someone speaks, you don't understand the caliber of that person. So hearing is most important. In order to preach Krishna consciousness, we have to hear. Krishna also heard, right? Before Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, Arjuna was speaking Gita. Arjuna Gita, right? So he was speaking and Krishna was hearing. Then when voluntarily Arjuna wanted to stop speaking and surrender unto Krishna, then Krishna started speaking. And what is the first title Arjuna got from Krishna? You are a fool. Also, Chan Anna Sochastang Pragavadangsa Vasase Gatasuna Gatasungcha Nanu Sachanti Panditaha. You are talking like an intelligent person, but you are a number one fool. So, same thing happened. This is the parampara. So, our parampara is the parampara of fools. Prabhupada used to say, a disciple should always feel that he is a fool in front of the spiritual master, but act intelligently. Very unique combination. We should feel like fool, but don't act like a fool. But problem is that in Kali Yuga, we think we are very intelligent, but act foolishly. That is Kali Yuga disciple. But real disciple, he thinks that he is a number one fool, but he acts most intelligently. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was again interacting with another Mayavad leader, Prakashananda Saraswati, and with his thousands and thousands of associates in Varanasi. Varanasi is the headquarter of Mayavad philosophers. So Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing on the streets of Varanasi with so many devotees. It's like a flood of Harinam Sankirtan, flood of devotees. The water of the Ganges could not flood the city of Varanasi, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flooded Varanasi city with chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But Prakashananda Saraswati and his associates, they are criticizing Mahaprabhu like anything. He said, what kind of sannyasi he is? A sannyasi is expected to study Vedanta. And he should associate with the sannyasis like us. But to talk about associating with us, he does not come near us. And instead of studying Vedanta, he is singing. He is dancing. And also not alone, with thousands and thousands of people. And not all there, it's also not indoor performance. It is happening on the street. What kind of sannyasi is he? So Mahaprabhu's associates were very upset by hearing the criticism. That is a symptom of love. If I love someone, if someone criticizes that person, you should feel sad. That is a symptom of love. So they are very concerned why they are criticizing Mahaprabhu. So they wanted to arrange a meeting between Prakashananda Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu agreed to that proposal. So when Mahaprabhu came, so Prakashananda Saraswati was sitting on a high seat. And Mahaprabhu came and sat where they kept their shoes and washed their lotus feet. So he sat there. And when Prakashananda Saraswati saw that Chaitanya is sitting on a place which is not suitable for a sannyasi to sit down, and by that kind of action of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started melting the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. Then he told him to come near him, and Mahaprabhu was invited to sit next to him. Then Prakashananda Saraswati asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why you don't associate with us? Why you don't study Vedanta? You took sannyas from our parampara, from our sampradaya. Why you act like a sentimental person, singing, dancing with people on the street? Can you explain? He said, it's not my fault. What can I do? My guru told me that I am not qualified to study Vedanta. I am a fool. That's why I am not eligible, qualified to study Vedanta. So instead of studying Vedanta, my guru gave me a mantra. And he told me to chant this mantra. And I don't know what kind of mantra my guru gave to me. And whenever I chant, I become mad. Kiva mantra dila gosai, kiva tar bol, japite japite mantra, korila pagal. So he said, whenever I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I become mad, and a madman, what he does, he cannot understand. Right? So that's why I act beyond my understanding. Everything is beyond my control whenever I chant this mantra. So when Mahaprabhu explained like that, with such an humility, that melted the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. Then there was a discussion about Vedanta. And the way Mahaprabhu explained Vedanta, it was really out of the world. He could not relate also the explanation. What explanation Mahaprabhu gave on Vedanta. So it is said, Dibbagyan Hide Prakashita. It doesn't mean we should not study Shastra, but we cannot understand Shastra by studying Shastra. That is the secret. So there are three levels of knowledge. Acquired knowledge, realized knowledge, and revealed knowledge. So what is acquired knowledge? Acquired knowledge is information. Information means you hear, you read, you study, get some information. And nowadays, accessing information is very easy. Right? Google search, all the informations are there. But spiritual life is not about information. Spiritual life is about transformation. And somehow, internet, social media, and other sources cannot give us transformation. For that, we need a person. So transformation takes place when we apply the information in our lives. Application of knowledge gives realization. And Prabhupada always expected his disciple to speak from their realizations. Remembering things can be done by anybody. Even the parrots can repeat the Shastra. But we are not supposed to be parrots. We are supposed to be realized souls. And realization will come through practice, service. That's why Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. It's not an inaction, activity. So when we serve, through service we get realizations. One scholar came, the vice chancellor of Varanasi Hindi University. He was a big scholar. And he came to Srila Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and he said, I have question. Generally those are very intelligent, they have always questions. Questions. So Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada understood, his little proud of his knowledge. He said, I am very busy today. I like to answer your question, but today I am very busy. But my disciples are there next room. They can answer your question. So he went to the next room. And next room was the deity kitchen. So that time backup service was going on. After bhoga offering, cleaning was going on. And he approached that room. And he said, your guru told me to ask you a question. And you are supposed to answer my question. He said, okay, we'll do that. But we are very busy today now. And some devotees did not turn up for the service. If you can join, then what will happen? We can finish the service quickly. Then we can answer your question. Somehow, he started cleaning the kitchen. So after cleaning service was over, then one of the disciples, asked him, what's your question? And he said, I don't have any question. I got the answer. That is called realization. So realization comes from service. Academic study is very important, but that will not give you realization. So you have to serve under the guidance of a spiritual master. That's why it is said, tadvidhi pranipatena paripashtana sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanina tatta darshina. Asking question is very important, but asking question alone is not going to help us. Asking questions should be accompanied by two other aspects. First is pranipatena. We have to surrender. People don't like to surrender. Right? They think surrender means slavery. We don't want to become slaves. But slaves are forced. But surrender is voluntary. When we surrender, then our spiritual journey begins. Arjuna surrendered. His spiritual journey began. In the same way, a disciple's journey begins when he is surrendered to the Guru. What is the meaning of surrender? What is the meaning of surrender? That I means I, the ego, I don't want to act on that ego. That's why the pranam mantra of Guru is Nama. Nama. Nama means no more me. I and mine are gone. My life is now taken over by Krishna and Guru. That is the meaning of surrender. Surrender means whatever you say, I will follow. Voluntarily. Karishya vachanam tava. That was the symptom of surrender from Arjuna. So first is surrender. Then sevaya service. Then we are eligible to ask questions. So asking question is very, very important, because that is the process of receiving transcendental knowledge. But that has to be accompanied by surrender, means humility and service. So when we engage in service, we get realization. And when realization becomes complete, that becomes revealed knowledge, revelation. Revelation means that person can see the Lord 24 hours a day. Brahma got revelation and saw the spiritual world and composed Brahma Sanghita. Revealed knowledge. Valmiki Muni saw the pastimes of Lord Ram, what already happened, what is happening and what is going to happen. And he composed Ramayana. Ramayana is the example of revealed knowledge. Vyasadeva saw and composed Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada saw and wrote Bhaktivedanta Purports. So these are the examples of revealed knowledge. So this realization and revelation is the success in our spiritual life. And that will happen through surrender and service. So Mahaprabhu, through this interaction, he is conveying the same principle. And by the interaction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Prakashananda Saraswati and his associates, every one of them became Vaishnavas. And how the journey began? Humility. Through humility, Mahaprabhu conquered them. So in the same way, by humility, we can conquer the whole world. And that is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And that is the principle of preaching Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can be propagated all over the world based on the principle of compassion. Unless heart is filled with compassion, preaching will not be effective. It will be only transmission of knowledge. But transformation will not take place because it is not out of compassion. Rather, we preach based on passion. That is also good, but that's not going to create impact in people's life. So compassion means what? Compassion. Com means less. When passion reduces, compassion manifests. So our heart is full of passion, so therefore in order to experience compassion, in order to distribute compassion, we have to reduce our passion. Then we can preach Krishna consciousness. A Brahmana is supposed to preach Krishna consciousness because his heart is free from passion. And Vaishnava is completely pure and he is the most qualified person to preach Krishna consciousness. Who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is that person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Who is in pure goodness, he is the real Vaishnava. And when someone is a Vaishnava, transcendental knowledge is revealed in his heart. Tene Brahma Hida. Brahma received the transcendental knowledge in the heart. And we also sing every day in Guru Puja. Dibya Gyan Hrida Prakashita. We don't sing Dibya Gyan Brain Prakashita. It's not revealed in the brain. Revelation does not take place in the brain. It's a place of intellectual exercise. But heart is the place of revelation. Therefore, heart has to be purified. And the beginning of that journey is cultivating humility to have fully clean and pure heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So time is up. If you have any question, you can ask those who have want to question maybe. because today is working day. Yes. Any comment? Question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a nice class. I just had a question because you said that about preaching, it's important to hear first. So you gave the example how Mahaprabhu heard from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But also another place, Mahaprabhu, he said that Mayavadi Bhashya Shunle Harila Sarvanash, that by hearing this Mayavad philosophy, then our spiritual life is destroyed. And also we hear that we should give our association, not take people's association. So how can we understand this? How much we should hear?
Very good question. We have to understand that what Mahaprabhu did, we cannot imitate. So Mahaprabhu was on a transcendental platform. So he can handle Mayavad philosophy. But we cannot. That's why we cannot transform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's why you have to be careful. So you should know who we are. Preachers are also at very different levels. A preacher can be a Kanishtha Adhikari preacher, Madhyama Adhikari preacher, Uttama Adhikari preacher. Right? We should have enthusiasm, but at the same time, we should be also qualified. Srila Saraswati Prabhupada used to say, first vichar, then achar, then prachar. Vichar means we should know the Shastra properly, conclusion of Shastra. Then we should practice character. Then we can do prachar. But in ISKCON, sometimes we do opposite. First prachar. Distribute books. But what is there in the books? That I don't know, but you should know. We become booksellers. Prabhupada never expected us to become booksellers. Prabhupada wanted us to be preachers of Krishna consciousness. So in order to preach, we have to know and we have to practice. Vichar and achar. And also, people have different capacity. One devotee proposed to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, getting people to preach to is very difficult in the Western world, which is easy in India, right? He said, I have an idea. Because people have different ideas. He said, I have an idea that a lot of people come in Saturday night club. And we can preach whole night. A lot of books can go. Many people can become Krishna conscious. What do you think, Prabhupada, about this idea? Prabhupada said, idea is great, but make sure you come back. So we have to preach according to our capacity. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, very nice class. I actually come from Varanasi. So initially we used to be proud that we are from land of Ganges, Ganga. But now you told we are from the Lord of Ghosts. So, but thank you. I mean, it was such an amazing class. Could you please little bit talk more about revelation in the heart? If you could just little bit elaborate. Thank you.
Revelation cannot be spoken. It has to be experienced.
Yeah, if you can just throw some light. I mean, your experience. I mean,
revelation means you can see things. You can see the absolute reality. You can see the Lord. You can see the spiritual world. That is called revelation. So that happens when you are fully realized. Just like Valmiki Muni, when by the mercy of his guru, he could see Lord's pastime, what already took place, what's going on, and what's going to take place. And he composed Ramayana. Brahma, he saw the spiritual world. It's not a poetic expertise. He was expert as a poet also, but it's not an imaginary poems. Brahma saw the spiritual world. Chinta, Mani, he saw, then he wrote. Prabhupada, he said, I never wrote this Bhaktivedanta Purport. It was revealed to him by Krishna. These are the examples. And revelation will come when heart is completely pure. Revelation does not take place anywhere else. It takes place in the heart. But our heart is filled with desires. So in that heart, Lord will not be revealed. So Lord will be revealed when heart is pure. And the journey begins with humility. Our heart is very hard because of our ego. So when we become humble, then our heart becomes soft. Soft heart is the ground to cultivate this Krishna consciousness. And when our heart will become completely pure, then it will become very, very soft. And in that soft heart, Krishna will be revealed. Vasudev. Just like Krishna appeared as Vasudev in the heart of Vasudev. Right? Vasudev means trigunatit, means beyond three modes. So when our heart will be free from three modes, then Krishna will appear, the way he appeared in the heart of Vasudev. And from the heart of Vasudev, he was transferred to the heart of Devaki. So Vasudev represents spiritual master and Devaki represents disciple. So when a disciple pleases the spiritual master, then what happens? The Lord is transferred from the heart of the guru to the heart of the disciple. That is the meaning of initiation. So initiation means transfer of Krishna from the heart of guru to the heart of disciples. And that takes place when it is on the transcendental platform. Okay?
Beautiful, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam.
Thank you much. Regarding that point, devotees of Lord Chaitanya were feeling bad when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being criticized. Sometimes we are on books and we meet some egoistic people who come and criticize our religion, criticize our books. So there can be two approaches. One is that we ignore them because on the streets time is tight. We want to reach out to as many people as possible. So we just ignore them. And second is that we can fight, make them humble, break their false ego. So what should we do?
It depends on who you are and it depends whom you are dealing with, right? So if you are a Brahmana, you should defeat him by argument. If you are a Kshatriya, take other ways to defeat him. And if you are not in that category, leave that place. And Prabhupada recommends is Kali Yuga, that is the best way to handle situation. Okay, don't waste time. Prabhupada says preaching should happen in a favorable place. He said, I did not get any support in India. That's why I left India and went to America and I'm getting the results. Mahaprabhu was not successful in Bengal. That's why he left Bengal and preached all over India. Then he sent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach in Bengal. Understand?
Yes, thank you.
So preaching means results. So there are so many people favorable. They are waiting for Krishna consciousness. Why not go to them? Why to waste our time to those who are totally against? Right? There is no scarcity of audience. Hari Bol.
Maharaj, one clarification about revelation, just to not discourage the sadhakas.
Has captured the attention, looks like. Okay.
He spoke very nicely about it. Wouldn't it be fair to say that as the heart is getting purified, we are getting revelation as well? Maybe not the absolute, complete revelation. Could you just comment on that?
So, revelation means it is complete realization. But it is a process. It's not a product, that revelation. So it's a journey, just like faith is a journey. It begins with Shraddha and culminates at Prema. In the same way, realization also starts at the level of Bhajana Kriya, but really it happens at the level of Nishtha, then Ruchi, then Asakti, Bhava, and then Prema. At the Prema, realization becomes complete. That is revelation. But till that time, you have some revelation, definitely. But revelation really means at the level of Prema Bhakti. Okay? Yeah, people can go, those who are having other programs.
Thank you, Marge. Very nice class. My question is to do with, as you said, with like disciple and surrender. You said that it requires humility, service, and also some level of surrender to your guru. So my question is, when we surrender our false ego, as you said, that I'm not going to be thinking what I want to do, but I'm going to just do what my guru wants me to do. But us thinking that we can still do that is still false ego. So how does one surrender without the false ego with real humility? Because I can also think, like, I will do this, as my guru is saying. And so that is, in one sense, still a false ego.
You're doing it, and you can repeat the last sentence?
Yeah, sorry. So the surrender part to the guru, if you say, I will surrender to the guru, then that is still the false ego acting, because you're saying, I will surrender to the guru. So how does one understand?
No. I means, individuality is not, it's Mayavad philosophy. There is no I. But I is not the center. Krishna is the center. And if you are, you have to remove I from your life, then you become Mayavad. No guru, no Lord. I am God. I is replaced by God. But who is that God? I am that God. So it's not it's two opposite side of the pendulum. Ego and no I. So I should be replaced by Krishna, but I will remain as a servant of Krishna. That is real ego. I exist, Krishna exists, but now I am the center, Krishna is sideline. Now Krishna consciousness means keeping Krishna in the center, and I am out of the center.
Thank you, Maharaj. Also on the same point, when we think that we can surrender, because I was also thinking this, that if I think I can do something, or if I think I can't do something, that is still the false ego acting.
No, it's another. Negation is not going to make things proper. Humility doesn't mean that, oh, I am fallen, I am this, I am that. It's not a symptom of humility. That is also pride, because it's centered around I. My Guru Maharaj told Prabhupada, I am most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not most of anything. So, if you are centered around I, then you are egoistic. So, what is the meaning of humility? Acting on the platform of constitutional position. When people talk, when Prabhupada talks about humble devotees, he gives the example of Arjuna, he gives the example of Hanuman. Highly egoistic people, externally, no? But they are the most humble devotees. Why? Whatever they are doing for the pleasure of the Lord. That is called humility. Okay? So when you act on the platform of pleasing Krishna, that is the platform of humility.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Haribol. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.